that's a good hymn. But. I do miss those days when the teacher got to sit and all the hearers had to stand, although we've not really experienced that in our lifetimes, probably. But I have been in some places where the pastor got to sit, too. They had a stool, and I don't know. We could talk about that for the future, maybe. We'll see. Probably don't really need that. But for this morning, if you would turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. There's a common theme through the New Testament at various points and times. There's a number of common themes, of course, but one of them is maintaining your faith through trials and suffering. Sometimes the trials came through things like diseases and injuries and hurts and loss, whether that was a family member or financial or material of some way, because loss is a regular and consistent part of our life experience. Sometimes the suffering and the trials and grief were because of someone else. I don't just mean that annoying person that cuts you off on the road or somebody at work that drives you crazy. I mean somebody, oftentimes in the scriptures, it's people who specifically targeted believers in Christ for persecution. Now, that can include, of course, the people that challenge us in those other ways, in more mundane ways. But the book of James, for instance, and 1 and Peter, as well as several other places in the New Testament, emphasize these issues about suffering. And indeed, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, that our brother read from this morning, the Lord Jesus specifically talked about people who harm you for your faith and for his sake. Most of the time here in the United States, the persecution that we face is rather mundane. It's a little bit indirect. And sometimes the things that we struggle with that really hinder our faith and our fellowship and our service together might not even be because of our faith. It might be something like masks and separations and not being able to access nursing homes and such because of COVID. This is a form of something we have to tolerate and try to figure out how our faith works with these kinds of situations. I know you've probably had to work through that and think through that. We've had numerous discussions, the deacons and I, about masks and mandates and rules and all these various things. And we've tried to honor the Lord and his word while also presenting something different than a rebellious heart when it comes to the law and mandates, and not to mention the actual circumstances of COVID around us. But a number of different kinds of things that we have to face. 2020 was a very interesting year. 2021 has also been a very interesting year. And not just here in the United States, but around the world also. There's been a lot of various things sometimes that cause us to be disturbed, if you're aware of history and some of the other things that have gone on in the past. Watching these things unfold in front of us communicates to us as believers, because we have read the end of the book. We know that there's an expiration date. We don't know when that date is, and I'm not going to guess. But there are a series of things that the scriptures talk about that will happen over time. And throughout history, it's true. People have said, ooh, boy, it sure seems like it's getting close. Look at all these things happening. And we've been saying that lately, too. Ooh, boy, there's certain things looking. There's some things that have happened now, this time around, that we've never seen before, which is very interesting. But I think whether this is the actual thing that we're going through that we observe in scriptures, or whether it's another rotation of the world as it goes through its various cycles, The scriptures teach us certain specific principles that can help us. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, we have a couple of these principles. Now, I don't do a lot of reading and studying on history. I probably do more than most Americans nowadays, but it's not one of my super... I'm excited about reading history books. Although there's a lot of really important things to learn from studying them. For instance, until 1800, the top speed that people could travel was about 20 miles an hour. You can imagine how they did that. Not on foot. They had horses. And then the railroad came. And it was pretty slow at first. And vehicles were in there too somewhere, although I can't remember the exact history of it because it's not the point of this morning's time together with you. But I do remember reading that there was some fear that as we approached the speed of 50 miles an hour, people were afraid that the force of air against you would peel the skin from your skull and make you blind. And so there was fear about going 50 miles an hour. But with the railroad, almost overnight, people started traveling at 100 miles an hour. By 1952, the first passenger jet could travel 500 miles an hour. And by 1979, you remember the Concorde jet, don't you? That thing could go more than 1,200 miles an hour. But even back in 1961, the astronauts who went up in their rockets orbited the Earth at 16,000 miles an hour. They had special suits, you know. And as we look around now, we have heard things about how knowledge is doubling every so many years. Have you heard those kinds of statistics a couple years back? Computers keep upgrading. As soon as you buy one, a new one's come out, and now you're behind the times. I gave up. I'm still kind of stuck with Windows 98 in my head. But doesn't it seem like we're rushing somewhere? Doesn't it seem like we're heading somewhere? We can't just be rushing at this breakneck pace in place, right? Although it is true, a few years ago there was a race car driver that said, well, there's no real secret to winning. He had won the Indianapolis 500 a number of times. He said, you just press the accelerator to the floor and steer left. Well, living life is a little bit different than that, as you know. But the truth is still the same. As complicated as things get around us, it's really, really important to stick to the basics. In fact, the more complicated things get around us, the more important it is that we as believers commit ourselves to doing and taking care of and being responsible in our own personal lives and in our church family for the basics. And you can see some of the basics listed out, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Verse 7 says, and by the way, this message is because this is the last Sunday of 2021. And the message is called, As It Passes, meaning the new year. How can we be preparing ourselves? Verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Yes, I know Peter was saying that even back then, but still, at the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. For my first point this morning, I thought to help us remember these kinds of things, keep praying. As we face 2021 and the questions that are coming, whether a whole bunch of lawsuits hit the fan and things start freeing back up again, but we still got to be careful because of the actual virus, or whether things lock down even harder and things go the way that Australia and Austria and some other places have been doing, or whether it's because of something completely different. We need to keep praying. It's one of the basics that God has given to us. It's very unique among all the things that we have together, the privilege of being able to communicate with our Creator. That's pretty good. Now, it says specifically about how we should do it. Verse 7, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. The older translations say be sober. That word, to be serious or to be sober, is a Greek word that means have the correct mind about it. You ever met somebody that couldn't stop being a clown? They really didn't understand when things kind of moved into a serious moment. Where they really didn't get the sober nature of funerals or how to be at a birthday party, depending. We're to be sober in our prayers and watchful. Having the right mind is what the word serious or sober means. I don't think this means that it's wrong to laugh together at church, obviously. I enjoy being with the church family. I enjoy laughing with the church family. It should be one of the safe places where we can laugh together. And I think the Lord intended for us to enjoy the blessings that He's given us in our salvation. But when it comes to prayer, being flippant about prayer is, I think, less appropriate. I think this idea of being sober, being serious in our prayers, means, you know, when it's time to get down to business, we get serious and get down to business. I think that's what this verse is teaching. Prayer is actually fairly serious business. There's a lot of different kinds of prayer, and you can have your lighthearted moments with the Lord. There have been times where the irony of a situation just blew my mind and I found it funny. Most of the time I don't find irony funny. It's very frustrating, but occasionally it gets so crazy. You know those moments. You drop that screw right at the right moment and it falls right down. It can't just land right there. It has to fall down in the crevice and disappear forever. Right at the right moment, or if it involves someone else, I think the Lord enjoys, you ever see a puppy or a really big frog? God, why does God do those cute things and those funny things? I think He also appreciates positivity and happiness. But when it comes to prayers, especially when things are getting complicated around us and it's time to get serious, prayer is one of the serious things that God has given to us. How are we supposed to pray? We're to be sober and watchful. Have the right mindset for the situation, and then be watchful, it says in verse 7. That word watchful means to be self-controlled. Not controlled by worldly concerns and worldly stresses. Now, I have prayed that afraid prayer. You ever have those moments where something really scary is happening and you cry out to Him? Excuse me, are those other moments where you forgot to study for the test? You get to class and, oh yeah, we have a test, and you cry out to Him? Or you're late, driving to work or wherever? Try that in the Army, it's super exciting. Yes, there are those moments for prayer, but this means even in those moments, don't be controlled by those things, but rather be watchful, be self-controlled. It's a word that goes contrary to being controlled by alcohol. Remember that verse in Ephesians 5, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or debauchery or riot or chaos, but be filled with the Spirit. Those two things are kind of parallel pictures. Don't be controlled by the alcohol, but rather be controlled by, give yourself over to God. We could say the same thing about our emotions. When it comes to prayer, having the right mindset for the circumstance and then being self-controlled in the circumstance is very important. It's how we're supposed to pray. Now, one last thing before we move from verse 7. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. That serious and watchful, or sober and watchful, reminds me of another verse that actually is over in 1 Peter chapter 5 that says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You remember this? That word, be sober, in that verse, is the same word as being watchful in this verse. It's the same Greek word in the original language. Being watchful, being aware of your circumstances, but being self-controlled in light of God as we watch the chaos around us ebb and flow, this is how we're to pray. Prayer is so simple. Right? Prayer is so simple. 5-year-olds can pray. I've heard younger kids pray. And of course, we've heard senior saints pray, sometimes in ways that just the honor that they give to the Lord in their prayers moves us. It's a simple thing. One of the basics. And whatever happens in 2022, one of the things that we need to keep doing is praying. Keep praying. Now to move forward, let's look at verses 8 through 11 for another simple basic that we can be practicing. Verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Had to stick that one on there, right? Without grumbling. Verse 10, "As each one has received a gift," "minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In those verses there's one common denominator. There might be more than that, but one of the big ones that stuck out to me was that this is all outward stuff. This is putting out stuff. In every case, it's a call to look for ways to minister to others with a right attitude. This is vastly different from the way the world calls us to live. The world has things like teachings about self-esteem. And when they have church in the world, coming to church means I'd like a blessing. I need some encouragement. I want something from the Bible today, something from God. And so people come to church to get something for themselves. When God's original intention was for us individually to imitate our Savior, remember how he came? The Bible specifically says he didn't come to be served, but to serve, to give. And that's what he did throughout his life. He gave and he gave and he gave, and then he gave his life for us. And even after his resurrection, he gave. He ministered to Mary in the garden. He ministered to the disciples. He gave and gave. That's what he did. The world teaches us, and our own flesh teaches us, to be self-serving and self-centered. But God teaches us to be serving, to keep serving. And that's my second point this morning. The first one was keep praying. The second one is keep serving. There's a concept that's taught in the Bible called discipleship. And discipleship, at its base, is when you decide to obey, to imitate the Lord Jesus when he took someone under his wing and passed on spiritual knowledge to them and helped them to grow. It can be a lengthy process. Mentoring, coaching, teaching, helping, ministering. This is what it means to be a disciple, to be committed to giving. We'll get on discipleship again in the future, I have no doubt, but I believe that the heartbeat of a church family should be, whether you call it discipleship or whether you call it serving, it's to imagine this. Imagine if instead of each person coming to church looking to get a blessing, in which case you might get one, maybe, depending on the public speaker, depending on the different people you might interact with, depending on the music. But imagine if every single person came to church to be a blessing, to find somebody else to share something with, to look for somebody who looks a little down, if you can tell past the mask. And even with a mask, to just assume there's some way that I can be an encouragement to someone today. Now, in a perfect situation, in that kind of a church, when you leave that day, you may have actually gotten 47 different blessings from somebody. Not because you were looking for it, but because everybody just has that idea in their head and everybody's trying to give to everybody else. I know that usually when we talk about giving in churches, we're talking about money. God is concerned with the material things. He's promised to provide our needs. We can be free to be concerned with giving of time, giving of effort, giving of work, giving of a helping hand, giving of a kind thought, giving of friendship. Yeah, sure, we can give material things too. I mean, those things matter. We understand that. But what he's called us to do and be, look at how he says it there. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love in the Bible isn't focused on the emotion of love like it is in the world. In fact, sometimes genuine love doesn't feel good. Genuine love means you're watching out for the welfare of the other person, the well-being of the other person, which sometimes means you got to sit down and say, ooh, I think that was a mistake, brother. Here, let's walk together this way. Not fun, not comfortable, not easy, but it's still loving. Sometimes it means helping in other ways. I've seen evidences since I've been here of love among this church family. Very good. Please keep up the good work. But that's just in verse 8. Verse 9 talks about being hospitable to one another without grumbling. Have the open door policy. Be welcoming. We're taught in this culture, in this world, especially here in the United States, to be a lot less trusting. And so it causes us to close our doors. It causes us oftentimes to be less what the Lord Jesus was with the woman at the well, or the woman caught in adultery, or even the Pharisees and Sadducees. But he calls us to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. It talks about in verse 10 the gifts that God has given to us. Why does God make our cup overfloweth? Remember that verse out of Psalms 23, my cup overfloweth? Why does he make our cup overfloweth? It's not so that we can bathe in all of that extra goodness. We have enough goodness in the cup. He gives us the extra so that we can imitate our Savior and give it away and share with those who have those needs. Serving, having that kind of a heart, is one of the basics. So regardless of what happens in 2022, let's keep praying and let's keep serving him. And having that servant's heart with each other. Communicating him with each other and with those, even those outside of our church family. Having that passing on kind of mentality, that being a disciple and making disciples thing. Well, in verses 12 through 19, We have one last section. I turned the page. It says in verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Okay, now wait a minute. Is that applicable to us? Is there some strange trial that might meet us in 2022? Well, you know, life on the planet Earth tends to be filled with both blessings and trials, both of which God intends for us to grow from and through. So yes, this is applicable to us. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Verse 13, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Verse 18, "Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Verse 19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." I had a teacher once, not in seminary, who was teaching about those heavenly ovens. You ever heard about those heavenly ovens? You smell that? Like the smell of baking bread? He said, "Those are the heavenly ovens in which God is preparing both blessings and trials for you for tomorrow, so that if you respond to them as biblically as possible, you will grow as much as is possible for you to grow in those things." Now, I like the smell of baking bread, but I didn't like that illustration, because I like blessings, but I don't really care much for those trials, especially when there's a lot of irony involved with it. But the truth of living here on earth is that we're not home yet. And so, of course, things are not always going to be happy. Of course, this isn't going to be heaven. This is not heaven. For those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior to make us acceptable to our Creator, this is as far away from God as we can get. Of course it's not pleasant all the time. Of course we have to wear these obnoxious things on our face or in our ears, or be in a wheelchair, or have knee trouble or hip trouble or migraines and headaches or all the other things, coronavirus. This isn't heaven. It's not meant to be heaven. I'm sorry. But happiness is not a constant here on earth. Praise the Lord, neither is grief and sorrow. They happen occasionally, all of them. But trials are usually what we struggle with most. I don't like trials, and I'm guessing you probably don't either. Woohoo! Another hitting my thumb with a hammer. No, it's not fun. Or another kind of suffering. And there's a lot of really nasty ways we can suffer as human beings. That's why the third basic, along with praying and serving, having that servant's heart, keeping the right perspective in trials is really important. In this particular passage, if you study it carefully, you will see that the idea that trial temporary is there in the passage. Happiness, sorrow, and grief, especially sorrow and grief, can last a long time. Pain can be a constant companion through life. It's true, they can last a long time. But this life was never meant to be more than temporary here on earth. Our relationships with one another are temporary. There will come a time where my aging parents down in South Texas are going to pass away, and I will suffer a greater separation from them than I'm experiencing currently. It's the nature of this place. Since the fall of man, grief and sorrow, separation and pain is a part of it. In this passage, it's communicated like, how should we perceive suffering? The way he communicates it, it's like furniture. How many of you have a couch in your living room? Have you ever walked into the house and suddenly gone, oh, there's a couch? Well, of course not, especially if you purchased it and you placed it there. You're not going to be surprised by that. In this passage, when he says in verse 12, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, he's meaning like that. Why would you ever walk in and be surprised by a piece of furniture that you put in your house yourself? In the same way, we're to see trials and difficulties as part of the furniture of this life. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be shocked. Of course people will mistreat us here. Of course we'll step even on each other's toes sometimes. Of course these bodies will fail us. We're not home yet. This isn't heaven. Having the right perspective through trials, through suffering, through grief and sorrow, will help us continue to maintain our walk with Him regardless of what 2022 brings us. Keep praying. Keep having that servant's heart, less selfish and more serving Him by serving others, and have the right perspective when it comes to trials. There was a man who wrote something a long time ago, back in the 17th century. He said that Christ-like simplicity is similar to what we see with a little child who, he says, with one hand clings to the Father's hand and with the other gathers strawberries or blackberries along the hedges. He writes, for just like this, while you are gathering and dealing with the world's goods, you must always keep the other hand in your Heavenly Father's, turning to Him from time to time to see if the way you behave and what you do pleases Him. It's going to be a new year. Who knows what's coming in 2022? But if we stick to the basics, if we return back to the foot of the cross, if we return to the feet of our Savior, and we keep praying, keep having a servant's heart, thinking outward rather than gimme gimme, and keeping the right perspective even as we go through trials and difficulties, God will help us through whatever comes along, and we can make it through with Him, and Lord willing, with each other as we walk together with Him. I'm still thinking and reading, but I'm very close to making this decision to begin looking at the book of James with you as we start 2022. James was written to a group of people that were under a lot of various kinds of distress and blessings. And so it's a good book for those of us who sometimes feel like we're being scattered to the wind with all of these weird changes and strange stressors in the world around us. But let's keep our eyes on the Lord together and continue to walk with Him through it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the basics that You've given to us. They, at least on the surface, seem so simple, but we know that there is great and profound truths to each one of these things. Help us to be like Your Son. He prayed often, and it was always in context with the circumstances and with Your will and with Your word. We thank You that He had such a servant's heart, and He exampled that to us so clearly. And regardless of the suffering that he went through, which was far greater, especially spiritually, than we will experience in this life, he remained faithful to you. Father, help us to follow in his footsteps. We would like to see 2022 bring incredible blessing and encouragement, things returning perhaps to sanity and normalcy as we've come to understand it. But we know, Father, that for your plans to be worked out, things will have to get a bit messy in the world. So please help us to keep our eyes on you, to not be distracted by the wind and the waves, to continue praying and serving and walking through both the blessings and the trials that you bring our way. Father, we need your help with these things. As we close our service, Father, please help us to commit our hearts and minds to the basics that you've given to us, so that we can walk with you and glorify you through whatever you bring along. We would ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.